Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site.
Well, you might have heard in the news this week that one supermarket, Woolworths, is reducing its range of eggs produced by caged hens due to reducing demand. That was a bit of the story that I found really interesting. They're actually going to stock 15 products rather than 20 products for the time being, and they foresee that by the end of the year, that'll drop down to 11 products, simply because demand for cage eggs is actually reducing. Got me thinking about this whole notion of ethical eating, the way we treat animals that we end up consuming, and whether you've changed the way that you eat for ethical reasons. I'd love to know how. 1-300-40-2020. Melina Tenson is the scientific officer for the RSPCA. It's good to have you again, Melina.
Hi, Sheridan. Thanks for having me on the show
again. Yes, good to have you again. What is so bad about hens living in cages anyway? They're small little birds. What's wrong?
Well, the cages themselves are very small as well. We've got one hen that's allocated a space of less than an A4 piece of paper. So if you can imagine that, that's not really much space to flap your wings around, stretch your legs, and let alone lay your eggs in a nest, because battery hens do not have access to a nest. And it's very important for these hens to be able to express that most natural of behaviours.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, but what does that do, though? You know, so they can't move around a bit. Why is it so important that they express those behaviours?
Well, from an RSPCA point of view, it's very important that all farm animals have that ability to express their natural behaviours and are not restricted in any way, so that both their physical as well as their psychological needs are met. And like you were saying, with Woolworths and the lessening of cage eggs on their shelves, What that's saying is that consumers around Australia are increasingly becoming aware of these animal welfare issues in the egg production industry, and as a result, they're demanding more animal welfare friendly products. And the RSPCA, of course, hopes that this is in turn an incentive for producers to convert to more animal welfare friendly systems.
Now, I believe that even the mesh on the floor of the cages is somehow bad for the hens themselves.
That's right. The hens live in these cages for about a year, after which they've reached the end of their productive life. And because their feet are on these mesh floors, they can get feet problems. And, it's not a good look.
Mm. So what evidence of stress, I guess, have you seen when you've gone in and seen these kinds of hens all caged up?
Well, what you see is feather pecking, redirected pecking behaviour. So normally hens would peck at the ground looking for food. Because there's no ground to peck on, they actually peck at their cage mates. So what you can see happening towards the end of a hen's life is that they'll have a great amount of feather loss, and you can have a fair few number of bare chickens in cages.
Wow, they're just eating each other. How sad. Mm. It's very sad. How long have the RSPCA been campaigning against the practice?
For quite a while now, yeah. So we're hopeful that this move by Woolies, for example, and we're hoping other retailers will follow suit, is a step in the right direction. The
message is starting to get through.
That's right.
I was talking to somebody today about the fact we'd be talking about this tonight, and they said, yeah, but look, I'm just not sure that those eggs that are marked free range really are free range. Now, where does the RSPCA stand on free-range eggs? Can we be sure that they actually are?
Well, we can only be sure if they actually are if they belong to some certification system whereby the consumer can actually, for example, go to a website and look at the standards that this particular producer uses and what this particular producer considers free-range. Because the whole problem around terms like free-range and even organic sometimes is that they're not bedded down in legislation. It's almost open to interpretation. So as long as the hens have some access to the outdoors, some for part of the day, then those eggs can be called free range. But of course, it's all about, what that range looks like, how big it is, and whether the birds actually find it attractive enough to actually go out there during the day and forage and dust bathe and do all the things that hens have to do.
So have you come across many quote-unquote free-range egg manufacturers that are kind of pushing the definition of free-range?
Well, I haven't visited every single free-range egg facility in this country, so it will be difficult for me to answer that question. There are definitely some out there who have smaller range areas than others. Mm. And, of course, as the RSPCA and within our own approved farming scheme where we have producers producing free-range eggs, we're happy that, good standards of bird welfare are being met in those systems.
So when we actually go and buy eggs, though, what should we be looking for? You're talking about this certification system. What is the system? What should we be looking for to ensure that these really are free-range eggs?
Well, you can look for things like access to the outdoors, how long they have access to the outdoors. You can look at things like stocking density, how many hens per square metre in that area that they have available.
Are these listed on the actual cartons, are they? How do you know that?
They wouldn't be listed on the cartons because that would be way too much information for one egg carton. So that's, if they have a website on the egg carton and, you can be satisfied that those standards are actually there for scrutiny, for public scrutiny on the website, then that's the way to go. And certainly, of course, looking for an RSPCA-approved logo on the egg carton is also a good start.
Okay, you've got that happening as well. Okay, what other food manufacturing processes are you particularly concerned about at the moment, not just simply the caged hens issue?
Well, there's also pork production. I don't know, many people may be aware that sows are kept in sow stalls for all or part of their 16-week pregnancy, and sow stalls are fairly confined crates, not much bigger than the sow itself, where the animal can't turn around. It can only take a small step forward or a small step back. And it's basically kept there until the piglets are born. Then it moves into another area called a farrowing crate, where the piglets have access to the sow, but the sow still can't move, can't actually be in all that much contact with the piglets. And the piglets are then weaned at 3 to 4 weeks old, and they move into indoor sheds mostly, either concrete pens with no bedding, or sometimes into eco shelters, which are large shelters, outdoor shelters with straw. And then the piglets, they grow out until about 6 months old, and that's our bacon and our ham, basically.
Mm.
And then in the meantime, the sow, of course, is impregnated again, and we'll often go back to the sow stall and until she's ready to give birth, and then into the farrowing crate, and the whole cycle goes round and round like that for about 3 years. And then the sow is turned into salami. That's the salami we eat. So, again, the RSPCA has a scheme for pig producers that produce pork to very high welfare standards, where sows are actually outdoors, piglets are born outdoors, and then the piglets themselves grow out in what's called eco shelters, as I was saying before, so large straw-based sheds.
Okay. All right. This is Open House Across the Nation. Melina Tenson is the scientific officer with the RSPCA. We're talking about ethical eating, and particularly, prompted by the story in the news this week that at least one supermarket is reducing the amount of caged eggs that it's actually selling because of the reduced demand. Looks like messages are actually getting through. I'd like to know from you, 1-300-40-2020, how have you changed the way you eat so you can be more ethical about it? Has it been, fair trade coffee, or have you been one of these people that's also decided some time ago, I'm not going to be buying these caged eggs anymore? Or eggs produced by caged hens, because I don't want to be part of that. Have you changed in some other way? Have you stopped maybe eating some of these pork products because of just what you're hearing Melina talk about? I'd like to hear how, why, and what it has actually been that you've changed. 1-300-40-2020. The other thing, Melina, is they call them boilers, meat chickens?
Broilers. That's
broilers,
right. Yeah,
okay. Some concern there about growth promoters?
They don't use growth promoters in the chicken industry. They have actually bred a chicken that's genetically able to grow at such a rate that within 30 to 35 days it's actually ready for slaughter. So this really fast growth rate can result in leg problems or heart problems, because essentially the chicken is growing so fast that its legs aren't able to support its body weight. And also within some systems, the stocking density, so the number of birds per square metre, is so high that there's very little room to move, and literally it's like a sea of white feathers when you walk into one of these sheds. So again, the RSPCA is advocating for meat chicken producers to start looking at birds that are much slower growing so that their leg muscles can actually support the large breasts, because we all want these nice breast fillets, but you know, there's a price to be paid there. So again, it's not about not eating eggs, not eating chicken, or not eating pork. It's just looking for those products that have been produced to high welfare standards. And sure, we may have to pay a little bit more for that, but I guess when we're talking about ethical eating and you know, what that does with our conscience, then maybe we should be paying a little bit more in order to be assured that the animal has had a good life from at least from birth to slaughter.
And Melina, beef and lamb production, how are things looking there ethically these days?
Well, beef and lamb production in Australia is very extensive. So, you know, the RSPCA's greatest concern are for those animals in the very intensive industries, and that's why we're looking at lay hens, at broilers, meat chickens, and at pigs, because those are the animals that live in, you know, extreme confinement or at such high stocking densities that, you know, their behavioural needs simply can't be met.
Okay. All right. Well, look, it's good to talk to you and just raise these issues with us. And again, the key thing is we've got to look for, whether it be eggs or pork or any of these things, we've got to look for some kind of certification that can be backed up with actual figures.
That's right. And the easiest thing is to look out for the RSPCA logo on some of these products.
Yeah. Okay. Melina, thanks for your time.
Thank you, Sheridan.
Yeah, appreciate it. Melina Jensen, Tenson, who is the scientific officer for the RSPCA, rspca.org.au if you want to find out a little bit more. Yeah, really interested to know how you might have changed the way that you shop out of conscience. You've actually changed the way you buy products. You might be paying more for these products now. It might be like a fair trade coffee thing where the coffee is a lot more expensive. Sometimes it's not even as nice, but you feel a lot better conscience-wise because of the way that the fair trade coffee, the free-range eggs, the free-range chickens, whatever it might be, are actually treated beforehand. Maybe you just don't agree with any of it. You say, look, these things are just there to be eaten anyway. 1-300-40-2020, the line's open for your call too. G'day, Sally.
Oh, hi, how are you going?
Yeah, well, thank you. You actually went and rescued some hens, did you?
Yes, we did. One thing I'd like to say is if people could see the living conditions like the lady just spoke about, it's quite appalling, actually, to see.
What did you see?
We saw them in, like the lady was saying, a very confined space. They can't move. They tend to peck at each other rather than, because they've got nothing, they can't put their heads down very far at all. Their beaks are often snipped, do you know what I mean? Like, because they can actually end up, like, hurting each other so badly. Like you say, they feed each other away. And we rescued some, and it was quite distressing when we brought them home because they can't even really walk. They've got to learn how to properly walk again. So we just changed our whole way of thinking. Well, we were very fortunate at the time that we could actually free-range our own eggs and to see the chickens foraging around, pecking on the ground, living off all our scraps, you know what I mean? It's just great to see the kids grow up amongst that environment. We've since moved into more suburban, but we're very blessed that we've got a great man down the road on a farm that sells free-range eggs. And we know that we're getting good quality sort of product, as well as the chickens are so happy, you know what I mean?
Are you paying more for it too?
Not really. We're pretty lucky. We're paying $5 a dozen, so that's not too expensive. But even if we had to pay $7 or $8 a dozen, we'd opt to do that because I do all my own cooking, and to see the yellow of the yolks is just, you know what I mean? You're feeding kids good stuff, you know? You know, I suppose you can go on and think, I can't eat this, you can't eat that, but if only, you know, I just think if they target that they could put some sort of label on the eggs to show these cage products, you'd actually really change your mind and think, wow, I'm going to make these chickens have a bit better life, you know?
Absolutely.
But I think it's interesting that they're going to change. And my son actually works at McDonald's, and they're considering that McDonald's may even change. And they actually produce in excess of 17 million eggs a year, McDonald's Australia alone. So if they went free range, that'd be great wouldn't it?
Be giant, yeah. Okay, yeah, thanks for your call, Sally.
Thank you. Yeah, it's an interesting subject.
Yes, certainly is. Glad to hear that you've taken a stand.
Thank you. you very much.
Appreciate that. 1-300-40-20-20 as to how you've changed your shopping list to be more ethically motivated in your spending. Merrin and I have actually gone to the free-range coffee. There's a new product for you. Boy, what did the product packaging for that look like? fair trade coffee. And I've got to say, I don't think it hasn't been a while since we did start buying free-range eggs, but I think I've dropped back. I think I'm going to change from tonight onwards. How have you changed? Love to hear. G'day, Rourke.
Yeah, g'day, Sharon. How are you?
Yeah, well, thank you. How have you changed the way that you shop?
Oh, my wife and I, after finding out and looking into caged or battery eggs and that, we're quite disturbed by it. So we actually set up a chicken coop at home and raise chickens at home.
Oh, yeah.
And we've never had better eggs ever and never seen happier hens.
And how many chickens do you have?
Some friends of ours did a similar thing to what the caller did just before, where they went and rescued some chickens, and it was really quite sad that they couldn't perch at all. Yeah. As she said, they round or anything.
Yeah, and so how many chickens do you actually have, Rourke?
It's ranged. I've kept quite a few, but at the moment I've got six.
You've got six. So do you need a very large area for them to still be able to run around? Like, do you have a really big backyard?
Ours is fairly big. I live in sort of a semi-rural area. So the coop itself is about 6 by 4 metres, and then we let them out during the day to sort of peck around in the lawn and mm-hmm. scratch and dust bath and do all the things the chickens do.
My brother-in-law and sister-in-law have actually done something very, very similar, and they actually can't keep up with the eggs that the hens are producing.
Oh, yeah. We out of the six of them, we get probably 4 or 5 eggs a day.
Sorry, you're cracking up. You're breaking up there a little bit. Four or five, or six eggs a day.
From the six hens, we get about 4 or 5 eggs
a day.
Yes. Mm. I mean, it's much cheaper because a bag of food costs us, $20, and that's more than a month. So,
thanks for your call, Rourke. I'll leave it there because your line's breaking down a little bit, but we certainly heard what you're doing. It's great to hear. Louise, you're doing something similar? You're raising your own chickens?
We decided that we didn't like buying the eggs from the shops because when I was a child, my mother grew her own eggs, her own hens, I should say, and so having seen caged eggs, I thought it was very cruel, plus the eggs don't taste as good.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just decided that Penrith Council allow you to have so many chickens in a backyard, so we have that. And to be honest, it's a joy to have chickens. Mm-hmm. I have them in the cage through the day, and then a bit late afternoon I let them out, and they forage around the yard and have a great time being chickens. And then it's a sight to see me. 5 o'clock in the afternoon, when I come out the back door, they come charging up to me to get their ration of food for tea.
Mm-hmm.
And it is. It's really it's something I advocate every family should do. If you can do it in a backyard, we've only got a tiny yard, but as long as you've got that meterage away from other people, and the people behind me have got chickens as well. I've had them for years.
Will you ever eat your chickens, Louise? That's the big question.
Well, as long as I didn't have to
slaughter them.
Yeah. My dad used to slaughter chickens when we were children because you only got chickens once, rarely.
Mm-hmm.
But I always went bush. That's one thing I couldn't cope with. As soon as I saw him get the bucket out and the axe, I said goodbye, and I came back 2 hours later when it was cooking.
There used to be farm butchers around the place. I wonder if they still exist now, where you can actually get somebody to come out to your place and do the butchering for you.
Yeah, I believe you could take them to abattoirs, like if you had calves and things like that. Chickens, you could probably, contact your chicken manufacturer and see whether
they'll do it for you.
Yeah, but I mean, my son-in-law wouldn't worry about twisting its neck, to be honest, but that's not my cup of tea.
Okay, good on you, Louise.
They become friends.
Yes.
But I have 6-pound hens and I get 6 eggs a day.
There you go.
And they're good. They're yummy.
Yeah, good stuff. All right, thanks for your call, Louise.
Okay, catch you later.
Good,
bye.
Good to hear what you're actually up to. Okay, I want to get to Gary's call in just a minute from Cairns. Also want to get to Angela, Peter, Beverly, and you as well, 1-300-40-20-20. How have you changed the way that you buy food? How's your shopping list changed as a result of ethical questions raised about various products? fair trade. It might be the whole food miles thing. It might be because of environmental concerns. You know, there's such a push now to buy local because the idea is if you keep on buying food that's been imported in from the Americas or wherever it might be, well, look at all of the food mileage behind that, all of the coal that's burnt to produce the fuel to fly it over here, etc., the environmental impact. Some people are going that way. Taking your calls now, though, on ethical eating and how you've changed your shopping list to be a little bit more conscious, kind of, well, less conscious-stricken, maybe you could put it that way. G'day, Gary.
Hi, certainly, how are you?
Yeah, well, thank you. Now, you don't buy free-range eggs for a reason.
Well, due to price, at least three times the price.
So you're calling in from Cairns. Are they actually three times the price in Cairns, are they?
Yes.
Yeah, because in the shopping centre where we go, they're a little bit less than twice the price.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, three times the price adds up, doesn't it? If you divide it down, though, you know, per egg, it's not as much on top of each egg, is it? So it's purely just a pricing for you at the moment.
Yes, and I feel that it's either we'll probably go without the eggs.
So you go.
But I do like the other caller, the idea of being able to keep chickens. That's great. We're allowed to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you have to have one or two, and it looks like you are getting abundance of eggs there. So you can have free ones. Hey, you can even start a business.
but what about the Japanese when they're catching the whales? If we boycott every Japanese product, I'm certainly not stop catching the whales.
You don't think so? You don't think so? If you stop, I mean, isn't the actual news story out of the news this week that Woolworths are actually reducing their product range of cage eggs is simply proof that actually if you stop buying them, then manufacturers are not going to have to make them so much?
Well,
there's no demand.
What about products that are being made by Christians in Chinese prisons? We never hear about that, do we? That's more important than about the Chinese Christian prisoners that have been locked up in Gulag making goods that we are buying, that other Christians are buying. We don't hear about that. It should be Christian-friendly or child-friendly.
So what is that? I've got no idea what you're talking about.
We're talking about ethics. How about ethics that we're getting a lot of manufactured goods that are coming into Australia that are made by prisoners in Chinese Gulag camps?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Absolutely. And that's, well, have you made any decisions then based on what you've just been talking about? You know, people that are, you know, trapped in sweatshops and things. Have you made any personal choices, changes to the way that you buy either goods, products, food, etc. because of that?
Well, you like to think Nike made a big move. They pay their workers the highest out of all the corporates in the world. So at least these big companies are making an effort at it.
Okay, we'll have to check that out. Thanks for your call, Gary. Didn't know that Nike had actually done that. It'd be interesting to know if they had. Hi, Jared.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah, good, thank you. Thanks for calling in through Life FM in Adelaide. What have you changed in your purchasing patterns?
Well, in particular, I guess I moved to fair trade chocolate, fair trade teas and coffees, etc.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Mainly brought on because I guess through a bit of research and through some campaigns and whatnot and looking on some websites, just sort of the treatment people get, particularly people in third world countries, child slave labour, you know, a whole bunch of issues surrounding, I guess, those sorts of products in particular. And I like to think that purchasing fair trade means that, you know, that they're going to get a better deal on the other end at least.
Absolutely. And there's actually two types of certification out there for fair trade at the moment, and one is better than the other. So you also need to research this as well. This actually connects in with something that that John from Victoria called in sent the message through Claire. He said that he wrote to the supermarket chains asking their ethical policies, and you can actually look up those policies on the supermarket websites to help you to choose where you want to buy and the kind of groceries that you want to buy for ethical reasons. That's another good thing. As we've heard before, that the phrase free-range egg may be stretched in certain circumstances. So all of these things we need to research, and then once we've worked out, okay, this brand's okay, we can keep on going with it. But
yeah, absolutely.
Great to hear you're doing the research.
We need to research, yeah.
Yeah, thanks for your call, Jared.
No problem.
Yeah, good to hear from you. Hi, Peter.
Yes, hi.
Yeah, how have you changed your shopping habits?
The point I wanted to make was that I'd actually decided to buy free-range eggs, and from an ethical point of view, and to pay the extra for it.
Mm.
But I was always thinking, I'm just one person. What difference would one person make?
Mm.
And so I was very encouraged when I heard the report that Woolworths are reducing the caged eggs,
mm.
because you realise that you're not the only one out there doing that.
Yes.
And I think education is a good thing. Programs like yours, the reason I started buying free range was because of the programs I saw on television a while ago about the battery hens.
Mm.
And it's just good to know that one person, well, not just one person, but collectively, each one person can make a difference.
Mm, that's right.
Other buying habits, I don't buy fruit from overseas. I do a lot of work in the country and up on the farms.
Mm-hmm.
And you see farmers having to drop acres and acres of table grapes onto the ground because the supermarkets won't buy them.
Yeah.
Because they're trying to create a demand on grapes for when the United States grapes come in.
Mm.
And so I refuse now to buy any fruit from overseas.
Right.
And I'd rather go without than buy overseas fruit. So
I think
the supermarkets do have a long way to go in terms of their policies, but it's nice. It's great to know that individually or collectively individuals mm-hmm. are making a difference.
It really is. That's the thing. And this campaign's been going for a while and now seems to be gathering up enough steam that it actually is making that difference.
It does take time and we just got to keep at it.
That's it. Thanks for your call, Peter.
No worries.
Hi, Beverly.
Oh, good evening, and congratulations on your program that I just stumbled across accidentally whilst I was lying in bed. It's marvellous to know that this sort of debate is taking place.
Wonderful.
I've changed my... what I try to do is keep up or listen to programs or read newspapers to find out, what I need to be doing. And I'm prepared to pay a little extra in Melbourne for free-range eggs.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the cruelty and because, as the previous caller said, seeing these programs on television, that always is very alarming to see how animals are treated. I'm also very concerned. I also have reduced my my meat now for some years, meat intake to about twice a month.
Twice a month? Okay, so what, like two dishes a month?
Yeah, something like that. I really don't, I find I just don't really need it. And, I started off for ethical reasons and now I just really don't desire it.
Well, that's a really good point you've raised. We haven't even talked about that yet. Some people would actually say, and when we had Ron Sider on to talk about this, he was saying that the amount of grain that's required to get a cow nice and fat and big for our hamburgers, all of that grain could actually be going to people that are starving at the moment. And there is such a thing as a global food crisis,
absolutely.
And that's a reduction of grain. So was that the ethical reason that stopped you to reduce your meat intake?
No, originally it was because of the idea. I heard a program on the ABC one morning on the abattoir, and I just felt I could never eat meat again, not really, but then I couldn't give it up totally, and so I just kept reducing it.
Right, okay.
And that was the original reason,
but
certainly the one about the grain I became more aware of later on.
Yeah.
Also, my current concern is palm oil. I really want to avoid palm oil because of what's happening to the orangutans.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm really concerned about that. I know that this is a very complex problem because it's a developing country and the farmers need to sell their product.
Mm.
But I think we've got to find other ways around it or ways of helping them. But the thing is, I don't know how to always identify it because it just says vegetable oil.
Mm.
So palm oil is one thing that I intend to research, and I want to avoid any products that are using palm oil.
Well, the thing that's encouraging, Beverly, is just the amount of people that are calling in tonight that are actually taking some sort of action, even if it's simply just starting the research process like you are.
Exactly, like Peter, but that's very encouraging. I feel the same that he did. When I went in to buy my free-range eggs, I would think, well, will this make any difference? Who's going to care? And, how many people are really going to bother to buy these? But I feel, after listening to your program tonight, that we are making a difference as individuals. Who else out there is listening to this program tonight who may tomorrow change their mind because of what's been discussed tonight?
Yeah, well, I certainly have decided to make some changes. Thanks for your calling, Beverly.
Thank you. Thank you
Appreciate
for your program.
It.
It's wonderful.
Good on you.
Thank you. Bye.
Yeah, good on you. More of your calls too. Tell me, 1-300-40-2020, how you've changed your shopping list purchases for ethical reasons. Hi, Angela.
Oh, hello, Sheridan.
How are you going?
Good, thank you.
Good. What have you changed?
I stopped buying Nestle products a very, very long time ago because of their track record in the third world countries.
With the baby's formula and things?
Yeah, that's correct. If, you know, one baby died because of it, then that's one child too many.
So how many years ago did you make that decision?
Well, it's probably 20-odd years.
Is that right? And you've kept up with
yes,
that?
Oh, most wow. Definitely.
One of the marketing execs of Nestle are listening.
I hope so.
Because, you know, to have that kind of fallout for 20-odd years, that's really quite something. Now, we must say, we're not giving them the right of the reply, so they might have actually changed their procedures. So we haven't actually looked into that.
And I don't know whether they have or haven't. But the fact that they did that back then, it's my personal protest that it's never acceptable to experiment on a human, and let alone the poorest of the poor. And I also don't buy free range.
You don't buy
free range eggs. I don't buy cage eggs.
You buy free range, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. And like Peter, I think we all saw the same program. I think it was on one of the current affair programs with the caged chickens. And you see they're knobbly. Their feet, they don't have little claws. They're knobbly things. It's just shocking.
I remember a number of years ago it started to come into the light, but it's taken a while for it to actually affect sales, but it seems like it actually is doing now.
It's wonderful. And I didn't know about the pigs. That came out through your program tonight.
So there's more things for us to explore, isn't there?
There is, and it would be wonderful if there was a list somewhere, if someone, even the RSPCA, could compile a list that we could go to and have a look.
We'll certainly go to the RSPCA website. That'll be a start. There are actually ethical eating websites and things. A good deal of them are US, but we'll do a little bit further of research into that and see what we can find out. Because, it would be a good thing for us to follow through. Thanks, Angela.
All right, Sharon, and all of you.
Yeah, you too. See
you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye. Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
Yeah, your thoughts on not buying free-range eggs?
I just had a little bit of a comment that might not quite be on topic, but it's still about how I changed my shopping. I'm actually a single mother, and I don't have as much money as I hoped I have, and back when I first became a single mother, I wasn't living off very much, and basically I was living off Vegemite sandwiches just because I didn't have enough money to buy anything more than that.
Wow.
And, I really felt challenged that I shouldn't stay in my circumstance, and that, through the help of the Holy Spirit and God and my church family, I could push through that. And I did, and I challenged, and I wanted to be able to eat healthy and eat good food and be a healthy mother and a healthy person for my kid. And now I do. Now I shop, and I can afford beautiful fruit and wonderful food, and my son eats beautifully healthily, and that's personally how my shopping list has changed. And on the same subject, that was the Holy Spirit convicting me to say, no, I'm not going to stay in my circumstance, and I will, I'll do what I need to do. And if the Holy Spirit challenges you to do something like eat eggs that haven't been laid in a cage, or eat chocolate that hasn't been, cocoa that hasn't been picked by children that have been taken away from their parents to pick cocoa in Africa somewhere, then if the Holy Spirit's challenged you to do that, then He will make a way for that to happen. And, there's a reason why the Holy Spirit challenges you to do things. And, just to stand strong in that and be like, oh, maybe I can't do it because I don't have enough money. Well, if the Holy Spirit's challenged you to do it, He will give you enough money and you will be able to do it and succeed in what He's asking you to do.
And you've proven that.
So, in my life, it is what's happened. And, this has been a journey for me to get to this point. And, I think I've really understand the concepts that the Holy Spirit's wanted me to understand, which is not to stay in my circumstance and press through it. And, now that I'm here and I'm happy here, again, He'll challenge me more. And maybe it's on this topic about, not just buying the food that I can, but buying the food that's worth buying, that's good for buying. So, you know, maybe now this is an even greater subject for me to try and, you know, comprehend and reach forward and go for the journey of, you know, now having even more money to be able to buy food that's actually good for society, not just good for me and my family.
Yeah.
So,
really appreciate your call, Lisa.
Thank you.
Great to hear your story. Very, very encouraging.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. Bye.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.